Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with our guest today, Darryl Constantine. We're talking with him about his candidacy for president in the 2024 election. Darryl, thank you for joining us today and taking this time. We might do a little brainstorming together about the events on a global basis and what that means to America and how that redounds to the future of America. We just heard on the top of the hour news of the events that are taking place in Ukraine. Darryl, do you believe that we should send in troops in Ukraine to protect the Ukrainians?
I think that our military and our leadership is so weak and compromised that the first order of business is to replace them. And I think that what we are seeing is we are seeing an opponent, a very dangerous opponent, that is exposing the impotency currently of the United States as well as Western Europe. We are sending soy boys and lesbians to deal with nations that are serious about warfare. And with what we have in place, we are in very, very grave danger as a result of that. And we are seeing now the hollowness, because we have declared, you know, we are doing what we have said we would do. We have imposed now crippling sanctions. But Putin is calling our bluff because we have so thoroughly mismanaged our currency, our fiat currency now, which we all know about. He is saying, go ahead, cut me off from your monopoly money. He's not afraid of that.
Right.
We told him up front that if you took Ukraine, we were going to give you one big whopping speeding ticket. That's what we told him. We declared that before this happened. Mm-hmm. So very clearly, that invites this action. That invites this attitude, because there is nothing now. There is no enforcement. And now we are in a very dangerous time, because in one move, Vladimir Putin has demonstrated to the world that we are now in a very different place than we were prior to this. And there is nothing tangible to stop him from doing what he's doing in Ukraine. For the reality for us as Americans is that we now are in fact, very grave, imminent danger because of what we're going up against. We're going up against a nation that is preparing for war while we have been playing games and appointing, as I said, lesbians and soy boys to positions of authority. So we have never, perhaps, or at least in my lifetime, we've never been at a more vulnerable moment. And for us, the thing to do as Americans is to focus on getting these people out and replacing them so that we can restore our military and law enforcement. We've seen all of this encroachment of political correctness and identity-based hires. And on a day-to-day basis, it's annoying. It's annoying for Americans when they are passed up for job opportunities because they don't tick enough boxes. But when it starts going to the military, it's no longer just annoying. It's now a matter of national security.
Absolutely.
So we're very – yeah.
Absolutely. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Good day to you and guests. I appreciate – I am enjoying the message. I love the message and the heart of your guest, your last guest too. Also, I liked her message and the heart for today, very rich. Thank you for bringing on Darryl. And I am in full agreement with his passion, with all that, because I recognize it. I recognize that my thinking all along has been that America has been very careless. We should not allow ourselves to reach where we reach, and that we are at a bad stage. I know you, Dr. Youngblood, you have been speaking out. God has been enabling you to speak out, though it's difficult where it's reaching now. But as our guest has been saying, that we're gone beyond conserving now. We have been careless, and we have allowed things to reach where we are. We're losing our voice. We're about to lose everything, and we have been careless. So I'm happy for Doyle and what he's thinking. And I know that Donald Trump, I have no problem in agreeing or believing that God raised him up at the time, 2016, when he raised him up. And all hell came together to prevent him from doing his second term, because America is targeted to go down. America has enemies within. It's being destroyed by enemies within. When America lose the spirit of patriotism, when we allow our institutions, colleges, universities, going right down to kindergarten level, when we allow the teaching of and influencing of our kids, our youngsters, into patriotism, and rather instead we go on overboard, where we teach them to hate the country and to despise the country as the worst place on earth. We have gone far, really gone over the precipice, as it were, but God is still on the throne. So I am thinking quickly. My idea, Donald Trump is still around, and thank God for his spirit, that he has gone through so much, but he was raised up by God. He's strong. What he coped with, we don't see anyone else really would have been able to. Whatever method, if we're going to throw in our lot, in other words, I would have no problem with him getting his second term. And if he has to get the second term, then he could prepare the next one, somebody like Doyle, you know, who's a strong person with the right spirit and attitude to raise up, to bring back America to where it has been or need to go. So if we need to use Donald Trump, rally, support him, because he's good at rallying, he's popular, we know that, and whatever method, but with trusting God. We know God is on the throne, and we depend on it, because America is at a danger. In other words, what's going on in Russia right now with the Ukraine, America courted it. To me, America has been responsible for it, for building up this attitude in Putin. America has done a lot in all of the lies and intrigues and wickedness and conspiracy theories that they have been doing all of the time to prevent Donald Trump from getting in, and while he was in, and even now that all of what they have been doing was quite influential in bringing Putin to where he is, why he's doing what, and only God can deliver us where we reach now. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Lily, look forward to
your next guest, to bringing back that lady that we had. Thank you for identifying good, who can come and pass the message on. Yes,
very good. Thank you. Thank you, Lily, so much for your input. You're spot on with what you're saying. And I'm thankful for you. And I just simply say, as I do each and every day, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Dr. Adrian Rogers said a number of years ago that the world is dark, but it's gloriously dark, for Jesus Christ could return at any moment. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, to have a gentleman with us today that I believe we need to all hear and listen up well as to what he is saying that is taking place and what we need to do. We're talking with one that is running for president on the Republican ticket in 2024, Daryl Constantine. Daryl, thank you again for being with us. Let me ask you a question. I understand that our truckers are now in D.C. They intend to do a major blockade. What do you think? What is your opinion? What is your position? Should they do what they're doing? Is that the right thing to do? And secondly, what do you think the Biden administration is going to do in response to that?
Yeah, so this is a very interesting topic, very important. Very briefly, that was just such a lovely call. I'm not sure if it was Lily or Lydia, but whoever that was, very beautiful. Thank you so much for calling in. And I am running in 2024, so I did hear you talk a bit about Trump, but I would hope that you would consider voting for me. I'm ready to go above and beyond what we saw from that administration to put things back in order. What we're seeing right now is lining up with what a lot of people expect. And I think we know that Democrats do not like to lose. And it looks very clear that they are heading into a real, substantial, legitimate red wave in 2022.
Yes.
And I don't think that they're going to be able to harvest enough ballots to get out of it. So I think what you've alluded to and several others that I respect quite a bit is actually the expectation that they are not going to allow that to happen. We talk about, we see in Canada, martial law, these types of things. So I think for me, I'm staying in my lane, which is focusing on a political solution that may or may not be allowed to happen. We may have, in fact, gone too far. We need to put the pressure on them to make sure that they don't get away with suspending this upcoming election, which is why we need to be talking about this, talking about how these events perhaps are even playing into the agenda of the Democrats to create a reason not to allow that election to occur. So part of what happens in order to happen to set things right, we have to actually get to that election. We have to talk about what has happened in Canada in reaction to the convoy,
right,
and what that implies could happen here for us, because really it's a three-step process, right? Talk about the importance of praying to have these people that are harming the country removed from office. Step one to that is going to be electing a good bunch of those bums out in 2022,
yes,
and then, God willing, in 2024, finishing the job off, getting the rest out, and implementing an agenda and an administration that is not only going to hold the line, but actually to reclaim the country for Christ. So what I see going on with the truckers is, again, establishing, perhaps leading into a legitimate reason, a non-legitimate reason, of course, but a rationale, rather, for the Biden administration to suspend actions leading into the election. So we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. We need to be talking about this, preparing the American people for these types of underhanded maneuvers from the Democrats to put pressure to prevent that from happening.
You touched on that, and so let me just carry that a little bit further, Daryl, if you don't mind. Let's do some assumptions. Realizing that Biden was on the telephone almost daily with Trudeau, and they orchestrated together, in my opinion, they collaborated on the issue of martial law. Of course, it was not called martial law in Canada. But if Biden uses the martial law approach, how does it redound to the average citizen? What will that do to our nation? What will it allow the present governmental officials to do to we the people, and what do you foresee as that potentiality?
Well, it means a lot of things, clearly. That empowers the government to do bold, sweeping things. And frankly, this is something that Republicans should have been considering when we were in office, because
yes,
we are in a state of emergency. We are under siege from the enemy on all sides. And we spend a lot of time as Republicans talking about the overreach of the left and pointing out to people, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. It's very clear. But then when we're in office, we say, well, we can't do that. But we need to be looking at these things and also thinking about the types of steps, the bold steps that we're going to have to do to deal with the real issue of the domestic terrorists that occupy essentially an entire political party and, by association, everything else, corporate America, entertainment industry, academic institutions. So if the Biden administration were to implement martial law, that would mean essentially that they would have access to the homes of every citizen in the United States. So I do advise everybody to operate inside of the law, to be a law-abiding citizen. That is what separates us largely from the left. So I do not want anybody to do anything that puts them in harm's way. I think that participating in civil disobedience, which is something that we are constitutionally allowed to do, that is something that is appropriate in times of situations where people see things being encroached upon that are incorrect. Telling people that they have to do certain things to comply, these types of things, civil disobedience is in fact an appropriate constitutional response to that under a certain context.
Absolutely, and civil disobedience does not mean going out on the streets with an AK-47 and shooting the enemy, but it doesn't mean taking a stand for that which is right. No, in fact, God ordained civil disobedience. You'll find in the scripture where that took place several times. In fact, I'm reminded of Daniel when the law was signed that it was 30 days that no one could pray to anyone except the king. Daniel knew that. And the scripture says, went out to his room and prayed as he had aforetime, and he continued to do what God would have him to do. And that's what I believe you're saying, and what I would urge our listeners to do, is to recognize we have a responsibility as Christians in the society in which we're living to take a stand. I use the term, Daryl, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen,
yep.
And not sit down in silence. Right. And for too long, Christians have taken the philosophy that we need to be silent, that government is not for the Christian, we ought not to be involved. And, Daryl, I believe that's the very reason we have plummeted to the place that we are in America today, is because Christians have been silent too long. As a result of that, we've not stayed in the civil governmental system. And as we see in Romans, the 13th chapter, where God ordained government, and government is a slave servant of God, and if we find any elected official, as we call them, that's making decisions that is antithetical to the Word of God, passing laws that's antithetical to the Word of God and to the Constitution, we ought to stand up as Christians and say, no, we're not going to adhere to that. That, I believe, is the true indication of civil disobedience. But, Daryl, just recently, perhaps you're familiar with it, you may or may not want to address it, but our governor signed a bill, Senate Bill 7014, that allows a continuation of the law that gives total immunity, blanket immunity, for hospitals, doctors, and for all medical establishments if they put a patient in the hospital with COVID and they maltreat that patient, or if in some way that patient dies as a result of their treatment, that the blanket immunity prevents a citizen, the home, the friends, the family, the members, from filing suit against the hospital. How do you feel that weighs in the realm of constitutional rights and remedies, and what should we, the people, do as a response to that? And just a little footnote to that before you respond, I have recommended that our listeners call our Duval delegation and speak to them. I've recommended that our listeners be actively involved. The governor signed it, so that's done. But there's another bill that's on the fast track now that's supposed to be affixed to that, where allows the doctors to write prescriptions for COVID patients that the doctors feel is best for the patient and not for the CDC system. But that is now stalled in the committee, and there's not but another week to go, approximately a week, goes to March the 11th, for the legislative session to be in session this year. And so I feel that it's not going to pass. But I'm concerned, Daryl, that we have listeners, Christians, that did not even know these things were taking place, had no information about these bills, and did nothing. I'm thankful that I understand we had about 30,000 petitions landed on the governor's desk saying veto the bill. We had about another 10,000 people approximately that called his office and said veto the bill. And yet, as a Republican governor, which has done some fantastic things for our state, so I'm not belittling what he has done, but that's what you're talking about, I believe, exactly, that what we're seeing taking place under the Republican leadership is watered down in comparison to what we need to do as Christians. How do you respond to my thoughts and ramblings on that?
Yeah, a couple things. Now, build to that very important topic. One important thing to emphasize, again, as you always emphasize, is the importance and the power of prayer.
Yes.
So one thing that we as Americans can always do is pray.
Yes.
Organized prayer, concerted prayer in a direction of removing our enemies and empowering a corrective response to it, which is so critically important. On the topic about this bill and the implications of it, yeah, it's a disaster. We know, of course, attorneys and lawyers, and there's a little bit of an unpleasant connotation. We've all heard the different lawyer jokes. The sort of romantic interpretation of this is that all of this litigation that we have around us is here to provide citizens, consumers, with a check on these systems. And with all of that in place, to uniquely isolate now with this situation, when we have such mixed messaging about what we're being told is necessary and the reality of, in fact, when it is perhaps the opposite, to now remove that protection from people on top of it is deeply alarming. And you're very correct to draw the viewer's attention to that. On the topic about civil disobedience, the importance of these things, one of the things in my head has always been, all of these things going on, all of these conversations about what other things we can do, there's one thing that I haven't seen us do, and that's what's inspiring me to do this, is to actually use what we have. We have a party in a two-party system. We have a Republican Party that is supposed to represent us and that does win elections. And for some reason, we do not govern effectively when we do that. So part of this different conversation about addressing and providing solutions is, let's just take what we have. Let's just take this Republican Party and actually implement a platform out of it that addresses these problems.
It is, there's a major need for us to do that. And I go back to what you touched on. There's a need for American Christians, conservatives, and patriots to bathe these issues in prayer, asking God to intervene and give us relief in it. And during the course of our conversation, we touched on several times the educational system. I'm looking at an article, Daryl. It says, lawyers warned the school to stop harassing a child who talked about Jesus. Now, here we are in an academic system, and you touched on that deeply, where the CRT can be taught, where LGBTQ, IP, et cetera, the sodomite agenda can be taught, murder by way of abortion can be taught, but a child cannot pass out a gospel tract on the campus while in recess in a school on a school campus. This article, dated March the 5th, the American Center for Law and Justice has warned an elementary school in Washington State over its attack on free speech rights of students. The report from the ACLJ explains a second grader has been ordered repeatedly by the principal's office to stop talking about Jesus on the school playground, and school officials have even banned gospel tracts and have been inspecting the child's backpack to confiscate them. This child has been sent to the principal's office 10 times, has been told you cannot pass out tracts. So now what they're doing is the Gestapo methodology. Every morning when our mother puts her out of the car for her to go into the school building, they stop the child at the door. They investigate, inspect her backpack, and if there's any gospel tracts, they summarily take those away from her and say you cannot pass out gospel tracts. Now, ACLJ, Jay Sekulow's organization, has gotten involved in it. They put the school on notice. But this article says, We were astonished when we were contacted by the second grade student's parents. Says the little girl has been sent to the principal's office at the North Hill Elementary School no less than 10 times in the month of January alone, simply for telling others about Jesus. How should we respond as Christians to that?
Yeah, and going back to that topic about education reform and how critically important it is, and identifying what this shows about where we're fighting, we're not even talking about what they're doing to our children. We are now defending a child's right to be Christian,
Yes. Essentially.
So the solution to that is a new academic platform, a new academic package that actually says to all of those academics in those schools, actually, you're required to pass out Jesus to all of your students. And if you don't pass out Jesus to all of your students, you're going to be let go, right? That's my solution to that. My solution is to tell them that actually this is not okay. All of your textbooks where you casually slip Adam and Steve into your word problems and all of this nonsense, this is not only going to go, but if you attempt to cling to this, if you attempt to slide any of this stuff in, you're going to face very real prosecution, very real problems. This goes back also to the conversation about a large tent Republican Party and what this produces. You know, there's something to be said for not having a very large tent. Gideon did not have a very large
tent,
right. Did he?
Good example, yes.
Gideon did not. In fact, he said, this tent doesn't have room for all of you weak-willed, effeminate men. In fact, there's only so much room here for this. And what we see with this widening of the tent, it of course parallels with what's happening in the churches across the nation. The widening of the tent, the end result of that process of widening the tent to adapt to the country being changed by the opposition and thinking that grafting Republicanism on top of this new American identity represents a victory, that leads you to what you have in California, where you have a Republican Party that courts Caitlyn Jenner to run for governor, mm-hmm. And we have conversations about that. That is the conclusion of that. The conclusion of that is a man who has publicly castrated himself running as a woman to keep taxes low for successful business people, which is appalling and disgraceful. We need to be doing the opposite. The last thing I care about is tax rates. That's the last item, because before I worry about how much it costs me to take my family out for dinner, I want to make sure that I can actually take them into the cities and have them be treated respectfully and not be assaulted with a violent, disgraceful culture. Because if that's not done, I don't want to take my family to the restaurant if they're going to be blasting hip-hop the whole time, and I'm going to be subjected to this nonsense, and I'm going to be subjected to people reeking of marijuana with tattoos and piercings all over. So I'll get to the taxes. I'll get to that. But if I have to choose between the soul of the nation and the pocketbook, I'm going to choose the soul every time. And the strategy the Republicans have done is the exact opposite. We've protected only the paycheck.
That's right. Of course,
we know that the best thing for the paycheck is to have a Christian nation where people are self-reliant and self-sustain themselves. And that is really the crowning jewel of a Christian nation. But what we have is a lot of things in place, a lot of liberties in place that operate under a premise of having a healthy Christian citizenry. And until we have that back in place, a lot of these things, they're not so concerning right now, because the soul is always more important than the pocketbook. When we correct the soul, the pocketbook will be better as well.
Absolutely. You spoke very succinctly on that. One line, final thing, Daryl. Joe Biden has just recommended a Supreme Court justice to replace Breyer. Tell me about that appointment. What are your thoughts on it? Is it good or bad?
Well, we know. We know what every Democrat appointment is. It is an anti-American person that has been chosen by their identity to go against what is the traditional norm of that position, right? So I believe in men and women as different, and one of the distinctions of that is that, in fact, if I were to choose someone to be a judge based on a man or a woman, I would opt for a man. And one thing I have to say that was disappointing about Trump was when he had the opportunity to replace Ginsburg, he made a statement ahead of time saying that he was looking forward to appointing a constitutional woman to replace her, right? We make that concession for them, but we know when they get those opportunities, they're going to be pushing however most anti-American, anti-traditional thing they can. So we know. We can go through the history, but we already know what's there, don't we?
Yes.
We know by who put them there exactly what they stand for. They're going to be pro-sodomy. They're going to be pro-feminization of the country. They're going to be pro-death, pro-Lucifer, and anti-Christ.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, the final answer is we need to turn back to God. My people, which are called by my name, shall turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and pray, I'll heal the land. We need to pray and ask God to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
5 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.